T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
According to Adam Schefter, 5 Ravens players have now tested positive for the coronavirus, including 4 Ravens staffers, so that's 9 members of the organization. We know 2 players that have tested positive, J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram. We'll see which players are placed on the COVID reserve list at 4 o'clock by the Ravens today. That's the deadline to do so. Headlines are brought to you by Dollar Bank. Get a low home equity loan rate at dollar.bank. The game as of now is still scheduled. To talk about this big rivalry matchup Thursday night at Heinz Field, we love this guest. He talks football so well. Great mind for it. Was an outstanding player for the Steelers in the 90s. LaVon Kirkland is back with us here on 93.7 The Fan. LaVon, the Steelers won game one against the Ravens, but they gave up 265 rushing yards in that game. They seem to have figured out how to slow down Lamar Jackson, the passer. How do they slow down Lamar Jackson, the runner? What would be your take on that?
Well, I think it may be a little easier this time because 2 of the Ravens running backs will not be playing. So I think you can really key a little bit more on Lamar. But I think as far as your scheme is concerned, you have to think about some different looks and making sure that everybody gets on the same page. And Lamar's the kind of guy, kind of reminds me of Barry Sanders, not as far as his physical look or his running style, but you want to make sure that you get multiple guys to the ball every time he has the ball. If he's going to be a runner, you have to make sure that he pays a certain price for being a runner. He's an outstanding athlete. He does use his feet very well. And you're not going to always stop them every single time. But I think that you have to make sure everybody's corralling to the ball. If you do that...
Now, what do you mean by pay the price, LaVon?
You don't know what I mean by that. Okay. Well, I mean, you got to tattoo them a couple times.
I know
it's tougher now in the NFL. I know I've been away for quite some time as a player. But I think anytime you can hit a guy and give him a good lick, it sends a message. So if he's going to be a running back, you got to treat him as such. Treat him like a running back and make sure, like I said, he pays the price. He gets hit. You know, he just a lumber on him. I mean, you jack him up, whatever the term you want to use. You got to do that. You got to do that.
LaVon, this team's lost 3 of 4, Baltimore, and there's been a lot written, probably more written about what's wrong with them than there has been about what's right with the Steelers at 10-0. So, how tough is it for the Steelers to not overlook them with guys who aren't going to play, with just the way that Baltimore has been playing lately? How tough is it to stay focused and not maybe say, hey, these guys are wounded, they're down and out, this might be easier than it otherwise would have been?
Well, what I think that works in the Steelers' favor is that it is a divisional opponent. And you can look back in last year when they really actually swept the Steelers when they played those guys. So I don't think it's going to be a tough task for Tomlin to say, okay, we got to stay motivated. I think because they're the Ravens and the rival that the Ravens and the Steelers have had over the past few years, it really shouldn't be difficult for the players, no matter what the Baltimore Ravens are going through, that it should be hard to motivate those guys to play very well. Divisional opponent, one of your rivals, if you have to get up for this game or Tomlin has to do a motivating coaching speech, then you probably don't belong in the NFL in the first place. So I feel that because of those factors that the Steelers should be ready to play this game and be motivated to play this game. And plus, you win this game, man, you got the weekend off. So what could be better?
We're talking to LaVon Kirkland here on 93.7 The Fan. LaVon, you mentioned giving Lamar Jackson different looks. What kind of looks are you referring to? What kind of things can you do to throw him off?
Well, I think you can, you know, which the Steelers probably were the innovators of doing this. You can show different people on the line. You can show different responsibilities as far as the RPO goes, read pass options. You can show him different looks where he may think that the defensive end has him on the run, but you can maybe, you know, have a linebacker who actually has him on the run. Or you can have somebody go directly at him no matter what the fake is, you know. So that's what I mean by different looks. Sometimes you can get in a bear front, or sometimes you can get a under front. I mean, it's different things that you can show. But what I like with the Pittsburgh Steelers do with the 3-4 is that you got some athletic outside linebackers. And a lot of times, hopefully what you can do is contain him. You don't let him break containment. And once he does that, then you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah.
So if you do things that can funnel him and make him go into tight windows and tight spaces and sometimes show him that one guy has a responsibility, then the next time he does it, he doesn't have that same responsibility. You got to give him different reads. So he can be a little, you know, misinformed when he sees the defense and what the look could possibly be. So you have to give him different things, disguise it a little bit more so he doesn't get a bead on it and be able to read it and run all night long.
LaVon, I want to go one more into the tactics for you. And for this, I know you wouldn't be able from your NFL days to really compare it to anything. You probably have to go back maybe to playing in college to have seen an offense like this. But one of the things in that first game that I thought the Ravens and Jackson did that had me watching it and really nervous that they were just going to go right down the field and continually score was go to that down-the-line option as sort of a wrinkle in the second half. If they show that again in this game, how would you try to go about stopping that if, you know, you were in the defense's shoes, if you were running this defense?
Well, it really kind of depends on the blocking scheme. Like, a lot of times, you know, usually the end man of the line of scrimmage will go down and they will leave, whether it's an outside linebacker or a defensive end, unblocked. So they can basically read that guy. So if he goes for the dive, you can pull it out and Lamar can run the ball. If he stays with him, then Lamar can just give it away. Like I said before, sometimes you have to switch that guy responsibility up. Sometimes during the mesh period when the quarterback and the running back are in between handing it off or him keeping it, sometimes you just got to go ahead and attack what they call the mesh point. Mm. Go ahead and attack both of those guys. Or sometimes you may have to, you know, have that guy just stand on the line of scrimmage and have Lamar. But I think in this situation, Lamar is the more dangerous guy. So you have to make sure that you can attack Lamar anytime they feel like they want to run the ball or they want to do that option. You have to make him get that ball out of his hands one way or another.
LaVon Kirkland, our guest here. Great podcast, Believe, BLEAV. You can find him there. LaVon, how about the Thursday night aspect of this that you played on Sunday? Now you got to turn around and play a Thursday game. What is that like for an NFL player?
Well, I think it's a lot different than it was. You know, it was such a rarity that you played on Thursday. So most coaches, the approach would be, you know, you have a condensed practice, but you're still kind of getting things where you're lapping it up a little bit. You get to run around. I'm not sure what Tomlin does, but I know a lot of times nowadays because they are so used to, you know, they're familiar with playing a Sunday game and then also a Thursday game. That's a lot of wear and tear on your body. You usually don't really recover until Thursday.
Wow.
So for most coaching staff, and I imagine practices, you really kind of do more what you call a walkthrough.
Okay.
really no running, no hitting per se. You're just basically understanding your assignments and what you're going to do, if you're going to do something different. And you're making sure that you're going through that. The only problem with that a lot of times is the timing of it. And you really don't get to practice like you want to play. You're actually doing a walkthrough. So I think a lot of times that's why you may see games on Thursday nights not as good, because it breaks you from your norm. You're not going at a certain speed. You're not doing a little thud enough. During this time, you're trying to take it easy because you need their bodies on Thursday. So you don't want to go out there and, you know, practice hard like we did. You want to make sure that, you know, the guys are healthy, that they're really reserving their bodies for the real action, which is on Thursday. But I always thought it's difficult to assimilate football half speed.
Do you think it benefits any one team for this particular game? Do you think that what you just talked about helps or hurts the Steelers?
Well, I think it all really, really depends on the team.
Yeah.
If you have guys that are out, you got some guys with some bumps and bruises, this is a time to kind of recover. But the thing is, you're recovering so fast that I don't know how much of a difference it really makes, especially if a guy is really banged up. He really don't have any time to come back. So I really particularly don't see it as an advantage for either one of the teams.
Okay.
I think that you have to kind of grind and you have to sacrifice a little bit when you're talking about Sunday coming right back on Thursday and playing the game. Now, I think both sides, they sacrifice a little bit, and you just have to get through that wall.
LeVon, one of the things that I did not expect when we were kind of talking, you know, months ago, Andrew and I, about the Steelers this year, one thing that I thought just would be hard to replicate was the way they led the league in takeaways last season, and yet here they are, number one again, taking the ball away constantly. Minkah Fitzpatrick, I don't know about you, when I see that guy and a ball gets tipped in the air, it feels like I'm watching Ed Reed in his prime, where everyone else looks like they're moving in slow motion, and he just looks like he's immediately lasering to the football. How do guys have that quality? How do you explain the fact that a guy like Fitzpatrick just always seems to be in the right place at the right time to make a big play like that?
Well, Patrick Peterson asked me an interesting question when I was with the Arizona Cardinals one time. And he asked me, he said, "Kirk, when did you feel like you were like the best at the game? And I told him, simply this: when the game is very slow, when the game slows down for you, it's like if you ever watch Flash or whatever, he's running at a fast speed, but everything else is slowed down. That's how you feel. You feel like everything, you see everything. You really also trust your eyes. And I think he does a great job of trusting his eyes, understanding what's going on before it actually goes on. And that's when you become a player that makes a lot of plays, when the game slows down for you. So normally in a career, this is what happens. You play your first 2 years, and the game is going extremely fast. And then, like, maybe your third year, the game is kind of even. It's not as fast as it was, but it's still not very slow. And then when you're really hitting your veteran stride, and you've been around for a while, and you've done the repetitions, now the game slows down for you. So although to the naked eye, the observer's eye, the spectator's eye, you're like, wow, this guy is incredible. But for the player who's actually playing, his perspective is things are going slow. Things are like they're developing so slow, you're just like, I can't believe they're about to run this. And not for a long time, but even myself, I had those moments when you're just like, gosh, I can't believe they're about to run this play. Or this, you know, a guy's going to run a route, or a running back is trying to bounce outside. You're just like, I can't believe they're about to do this. And you really start trusting your eyes, which means you have the confidence and the know-how to make so many plays, because you've seen it so many times, not only as a real repetition, but you've seen it on film and you have studied them. And so you just really have a another sense, if I can say that.
Gotcha.
That you understand what's going on before it actually is happening.
Now,
that's the way I can explain that.
Now, when, here's a big question. Now, when would you eat Thanksgiving dinner? Would you have it early in the day with a Thursday night game? Would you save it for Friday, LaVon? Would you maybe do it Wednesday? How would you get that sorted out? I know you're a fan of food. We all are. How would you make that work?
Well, for me, probably I would wait until after the game is over. You know, so I know the game is going to be on. It's going to be around 8 o'clock. So I don't know if I eat a big meal like that before a game, but, you know, it may have to be, you may have to celebrate it that Friday.
No, oh, okay.
There'll be some still celebrated on Wednesday, but I just don't believe in having that big of a meal the day before a game. I mean, I just think that's a little bit too much.
Okay.
So I would just wait until after the game, you know. Now, then you can really just dive in. You can just do what you want to do. You don't have to worry about waiting in. You know, it'll be next week before you do that. So I would think afterwards. That would be my answer. Just do it afterwards.
Now, what would be
I'm
thinking first
about
pick
that turkey. Hold on, Pony. I'm thinking about that sideline turkey. Did you never, you know, got to break off the turkey leg and eat it, right? Like, did you know dudes who did that? I don't know if I could get down with that turkey that's been sitting out there for a long time in one of those Thanksgiving Day games.
That is a mutant turkey. Have you ever seen a turkey like that? That has that many legs and all that.
Yeah, you're right.
I would not trust that turkey. I don't care what John Madden or anybody would have said. I would have just pretend. You know, like if you're not really a drinker. I'm not really a drinker, but
same.
A lot of times people give you drinks and you just kind of hold on to it.
Oh yeah,
until out of sight.
I pulled that stunt.
That would be the same thing about the turkey leg. I would be have it in my hand, like, oh my goodness. But I wouldn't talk about it.
Now, what's LaVon Kirkland's pie of choice? What would be your number one pick there?
My pie of choice?
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Unfortunately, I do like sweets, but I am a pecan pie.
A pecan pie man. Let's go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, I'm from the South. You know, I'm from a little town called Lamar, South Carolina. So it's either sweet potato pie.
Okay.
But I always favored pecan pie. Just something about it.
There you have it. LaVon Kirkland giving us the good stuff.
Yeah.
Check him out on the podcast, BLEAV. Thanks, LaVon. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, anytime. Thank you guys for having me on your show.
You bet.
I'm glad he said that about the sideline turkey. I've been thinking about that for a long time.
Did you see the bite Ben took into it in after they beat the Colts a few years ago? He went off.
I think LaVon's got it right, though. A mutant turkey. Like, that. There's a man from a – he just said from a small town. He's probably eating, like, you know, stuff that was probably, like, raised not that far from, you know, farms down there.
Yep.
So why would you trust the mutant turkey? I agree with him. I think that's a sound opinion right there.
Have you ever had a turducken?
I like duck meat. I've had it before, but like, keep the duck and the turkey separate. I don't understand the need to stuff the thing full of different of another bird. Like, why do we need to do that?
It's overkill, is what you're saying.
Right. I mean, come on. It's like that old saying. They did not, you know, once they realized that they could, they did not pause to wonder whether or not that they should.
What a take.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.